Prime Time replay from Money FM 89.3. Mind Your Business with Howie Lim and Bernard Lim, only on Money FM 89.3.
Thanks for staying with us here on Primetime on Money FM 89.3. Now, could companies you invest in actually help in the fight against climate change or create a more equitable world? That's the question at the heart of impact investing, or investments made with the intention of creating a positive social or environmental effect in addition to a financial return. And the strategy is, I see, more popular than ever. And sustainability has always been close to the heart of our next guest. We're speaking to Eun Lee, who is head of Sustainable and Impact Investments Asia at LGT. Let's also find out from him how business leaders can better navigate these volatile times. And thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So you're part of the world's largest family-owned private banking and asset management group. What challenges come with that?
When you look at the context of the reality that we're in today, we know we have climate change, we have rising income inequality, we have poverty, environmental degradation. These are all real and pressing challenges. Therefore, we believe as leaders that we need to embrace sustainability, and it's no longer an option, but it's an imperative. This also explains the global momentum behind sustainable investment strategies like impact investing, which has grown to a sizable part of the market, roughly around $30 trillion.
Would you say then these challenges are kind of new, so to speak? Well, we're talking about challenges that business leaders face today.
Yes.
So obviously there are lots of pressures and lots of, split focus, so to speak, when it comes to running your business. And now you want to think about how you can make a better change for the world.
Absolutely.
So these challenges, you think, are new?
Well, I think that we're in this situation because in the past century, there's been immense economic growth, but really at a disproportionate cost to society and environment.
Mm.
And a lot of that has been driven by short-term perspectives, where you're really trying to maximize profit as the sole indicator of success. And, you know, we obviously believe that, you know, you can't do that. It's not sustainable. And we believe that you have to create values for all stakeholders, not just the shareholders.
Right. But we're talking about, say, if I could remember my management lessons back in school, Maslow's theory talked about needs. A lot of us still feel like we're trying to eke out a living, and perhaps smaller businesses may feel that way too. It's my survivability is at stake before I can think about helping other people.
Absolutely. I think that's why, you know, strategies like impact investing, because it's trying to ultimately invest in giving that positive impact, both society as well as environment. So you are trying to address that needs. In fact, if you look at Asia, a lot of the attractive drivers align very well with impact investing. Strong macroeconomic growth, rise of emerging consumer, access to essential goods and services. It's really that need that we're trying to address in a scalable way.
Right. Do you think there are some sectors doing better than others?
Well, I think, you know, we're impact investors and we focus on investing in global challenges, right? Solutions to global challenges. And if you look at Asia and even globally, we focus on sectors like healthcare, education, agriculture, energy, and financial inclusion. Ultimately, when you're trying to, in a way, combat a complex problem such as poverty, it's multi-sectorial.
Mm.
So it's not just one sector, but it's a combination of all.
Once you start to want to do that, though, that's when it gets more complicated, though, Eun Lee. How then?
Well, I think, we are active investors. So we do a lot of robust due diligence, understand business models. And when we look at trying to scale the solution, we're really trying to take it down to the ground and understand the context of how it helps the beneficiaries, whichever business model that we have.
For the neophyte, are you just investing in, say, social enterprises?
I think social enterprises is a label. So whether we invest in businesses that ultimately drive a positive social environmental outcome through a business or market-driven approach, I mean, that's what we do typically.
Mm.
But not everyone brands themselves as a social enterprise.
Right. Eun Lee, what do you think is lacking in leadership today?
Yeah, I think there's lots of distrust, I think generally in the markets, particularly
financial
markets. An
earlier guest told us it's generally trust all over, not just say in leadership, it's in businesses as well, how big tech is coming into focus about what they're doing with people's data as well. So
yes.
Trust seems to be the word that's coming up a lot.
It is. I mean, it's everywhere, right? But I think as leaders, we have a duty to sort of, in a way, bridge that gap. And I think when I look around at leaders, you know, it's really trying to find authentic leaders, genuine leaders that try to align the mission of their organization with the values, with the team, and with the outcomes. It's really trying to get that central alignment.
The other thing, you're saying the lack of trust in the leadership is what's lacking.
Partly.
What about leaders not trusting their people, perhaps?
Yeah, I think it goes both ways. But the point is, if you say something, you have to walk the talk.
Mm.
And that's really the alignment that I'm looking for. And that's a mutual alignment that's reciprocal.
Mm. So before you think about investing in, say, a particular enterprise, how can you tell if there's trust between its head and its people?
Absolutely. So when we do due diligence, that's something that makes us a strong impact investment, right? That you have that alignment. We spend a lot of time with each business, with each management team. We triangulate against their customers across the supply chain. And it's easy. I mean, it's not easy, but you can see that there is a consistency if the organization's walking in a way that balances their social and environmental outcomes in addition to the growth of the business.
What are some giveaways, though?
Well, I would say that, you know, quite often
because sometimes it feels like enterprises just give lip service. We do this. This is our vision, and
yes,
this is what we do. And how can we be sure that they are, like you say, walking the talk?
Yeah, and you know, not to cite WeWork as an example, but a lot of these venture unicorns have said something that have promised their investors something and not been able to deliver. So I think, you know, it's really, really important to spend time with the businesses, to spend time with the management teams, really sort of sit down and think as an investor, what's our additionality? How can we help the business grow? What are the pain points and what are the opportunities? And I think, you know, when you spend time with them, it's quite easy to find alignment. I mean, investing is a people's business. It's just like any relationship, you need to invest in it and try to find that commonality driven by values.
So you reckon even in this disruptive time and economic slowdown, leaders should still focus on trust?
I think so. I think there is a trust deficit. Until that's restored, it's very, very hard to grow businesses in an authentic way.
Mm.
And I think that's part links to what I said earlier about the short-term view. When you want to do this for the long-term, you need to really attract talent, retain talent. And a lot of that comes because they believe in the mission, the purpose, and obviously trust is part of that, the culture.
So you're part of the Young Presidents organization. How do you think it's helped you become a better leader? We've talked to some other of your sort of member pals, if you will, who say it is really the coming together of like-minded people that's most rewarding.
Yeah, so the YPO as an organization is very large, right? It's 28,000, I think, members or so. So I think just the regional and global connectivity is very important. There's not a single country or sector that I go to that I don't have a fellow member or chapter I could reach out to. So that's been very, very helpful. The other thing is I have a voracious appetite to learn. I think as an impact investor, as I mentioned earlier, you're multi-sectoral. You're always trying to make sure that you're kept up to speed with new technologies and new development, new models. So I think it's great to, in a way, plug into the lifelong learning component of YPO, which is a fundamental pillar. And, you know, just from going for their events, their trips, and even some of the university courses, which are, you know, thoughtfully customized for business leaders.
Mm.
I found that very, very helpful.
So you must be very heartened because you're an industry pioneer that sustainability is finally coming to the fore. Our Prime Minister spoke about it this year at his National Day rally, and suddenly we are now becoming more and more aware of the danger we're in, so to speak.
Absolutely. Like I said, against the context of the defensive nature of the world with all this uncertainty, sustainability should be a core strategy and focus. We believe as a strategy and as an investment strategy, it does reduce risk and enhance long-term value creation. So both as investors and as businesses, we should have that as core to our strategy. And that's why I think there's a lot of resonance globally with that. At the same time, I think back to talent, there's a lot of millennials that are ultimately trying to look for values, right? Value and values.
Yeah, they want to do good. They
Absolutely.
Want to be part of somebody who's doing good.
Yes, and they want to align with organization, with leaders that do that. So I think that's something that speaks to that generation as well.
Did you always want to be in this space?
I came into the space 10 years ago. It's actually my 10-year anniversary.
Oh, congratulations. Sorry, no party for you here.
Yes.
Instead of an interrogation we're giving you.
Bring out the champagne.
Okay.
I left investment banking to the global financial crisis really with a mission to align my personal values with my professional ones. And I was very much attracted to the concept of impact investing because I found it compelling to use finance as a catalytic force to drive positive change. And, you know, I found a very nice Japanese concept called ikigai. Mm. And I really think looking back on the past 10 years, it really is my ikigai, right? It's the intersection of what I feel passionate about, what drives purpose and, you know, helps the world. At the same time, it aligns with my strengths, provides a role which is sustainable.
Mm. Was it a light bulb moment type feeling, or it was something that you always had in the back of your mind that you wanted to do?
So I grew up in a family. My parents are both doctors. My father actually set up a Lions Club in Singapore. So I would say that they're quite philanthropic, and it started from there. And I think while I align very much with the altruism behind philanthropy, in a way, sometimes I challenge the traditional philanthropic model.
But at the risk of sounding opportunistic or awful, the causes are a dime a dozen. Why particularly sustainability?
Well, because I think it affects everything that we do. Mm. You know, we do live in a resource-constrained world where we have all these challenges, particularly in Asia. So I wanted to find something that creates that positive value, but in a more efficient, transparent, and scalable way. We do have a question of scale because these challenges are complex and intense.
And it's only money that can help with this regard?
Definitely not.
Surely not. A lot of the times when causes come to us and we speak to them, they say, please don't just throw money at the situation to solve it.
Absolutely. So quite often we say that there's three types of capital. Mm. It's not just financial capital, but often our intellectual capital, your expertise, and your social capital, your networks. It's a combination of this, you know, different types of capital that really helps the solution scale.
Hmm. What do you think, though, for kids out there who want to maybe step into this space, kind of advice you might have for them?
Yeah, I would say having done, this is my sort of my third role in life, and I've done a few things. I started from law. I went to banking. I took a year out as a travel editor, and then finally to an impact investor. I would say that, you know, when you're younger, everyone likes to put a label on career, but the truth is all of these roles are accretive. They help with the journey. They give you different sides, so I wouldn't put so much pressure on getting the right role. Because life is a journey, and I think at the end of it, you will have a sum total of lots of experiences. But I will encourage them to really look within their heart and to find that ikigai. Because I think once you align that passion, purpose, that strength, the role will naturally come and find you versus trying to fit a role which you may not be suitable for.
Right. Eun Lee is Head of Sustainable and Impact Investments Asia at LGT. Eun Lee, thank you so much.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.